change my calling from ministry to something else? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Well, hi, it's Bill Meyer along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. This is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. Our phone lines are open and you can call us for the next 25 minutes or so. Here's the phone number. It's 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. We also have a YouTube channel. If you ever go on YouTube, look for the Core Christianity YouTube channel, and you can send your question right there to Adriel in the studio and see how he responds. Hopefully he'll smile. And you can always email us your question at questions@corechristianity.com. You love getting those questions
on
YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, wherever we get the questions from, I'm happy. I always smile, don't I, Bill?
He does. Smiles when he preaches, too. I've been there, so trust me on that.
Yeah, the entire sermon, just a huge smile on my face. It's really actually kind of creepy.
Yeah, well, no comment. All right, let's go to the phones. We have Rhonda on the line from Missouri. Rhonda, what's your question for Adriel?
My question is, I have a friend that is wanting to lose weight, and she wants to be hypnotized. And I don't think she should. And I was wondering what you think about that. And if you have a scripture to back it up that we should not allow that.
Rhonda, thank you for that question. I know that this is a huge struggle for many people, for many Christians. Self-control. And I mean, self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But not having self-control, the sin of gluttony. I mean, that's something we don't talk about very often in the church. But really, I think we should, because the Bible talks about it. And so in this situation, you know, you have someone who's struggling with their weight and wants to lose weight, but is having a difficult time. And so they're looking for ways to do that. And hypnotism being one of them. I've heard of people using this. Now, we've talked about hypnotism on the broadcast before. In the context more so of dealing with mental health issues and trauma. I mean, Bill, you had some wonderful insights, I think, as far as that was concerned. But with regard to this particular issue, you know, one of the cautions that we laid out with hypnotism was just putting yourself in a susceptible state where you're essentially, you know, surrendering yourself and opening yourself up to something and putting yourself at the mercy of another person. Now, I know that there's a lot of controversy about, you know, how effective can this actually be? But I would probably want to steer them to other avenues of addressing this particular issue rather than, you know, trying to find. And I think this is often the case, you know, when people are wrestling with stuff like this, when people are wrestling with their weight, they're looking for, like, you know, give me that pill that I can take that's just going to cause me to lose all this weight. But maybe there's a deeper thing to address here. Maybe it's the issue of self-control and having a healthy relationship with food and with our bodies. So maybe bringing that up and thinking about it in that context, as opposed to looking for a quick fix. And Bill, what do you think?
Well, you know, we talked about it, as you said before, and basically what hypnosis does is it relaxes the patient enough to gain access to their subconscious thoughts. And if there's something deeper that's causing this, you know, obesity, then perhaps that's worth exploring. But we talked about also that there's a word of caution before you want to submit to hypnosis. You want to make sure to be familiar with the therapist's credentials, with their background, with their worldview and their value system, because you don't want to submit to hypnosis with, let's say, a therapist who has New Age beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really helpful. And so, Rhonda, I think just coming alongside of this friend and encouraging her, walking with her through this, you know, obviously not being condemned, such a sensitive issue as well, because many people that's an area where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I feel like I could do better. I feel like, you know, I don't have my diet under control. So not condemning, not shaming. But talking about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and maybe pursuing it as thinking of it like this, you know, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And I think that obviously that relates to all sorts of avenues of our life, but thinking of it in this way and saying, okay, you know, as we're cultivating this relationship with the Lord, looking to Him, trusting in Him, praying specifically according to His will. God, grant me strength in this area. Grant me self-control. Maybe to be a little bit more disciplined in exercise and in eating well and having a healthy relationship with with my body that I might serve you. You know, we don't often think about the relationship between the physical body and the spiritual life, but there is one there. You know, if we're always tired because of how we eat and we're not getting enough sleep and we're, our diet is off, we're not exercising, those kinds of things, well, that's going to affect our prayer life. That's going to affect other aspects of our spiritual life, the spiritual life. And so all of these things are related and God cares about all of them. And so we should as well. And so hopefully you can come alongside of her and encourage her, Rhonda, and God bless you and grant you grace and wisdom.
Rhonda, thanks so much for your call and for your concern for your friend. We appreciate you listening to Core Christianity. Love to hear from you. If you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life, theology, doctrine, you name it, we get a lot of interesting calls on a wide variety of topics here. We're even open to your calls if you consider yourself to be an agnostic or an atheist and you have doubts about the Christian faith. We'd love to address those doubts. Here's the phone number. It's 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. Let's go to Wayne calling in from Nebraska. Wayne, what's your question for Adriel?
Hi, Adriel. I listen to you all the time, and you're very inspiring to me in my walk with Jesus. My question for you today is, it just seems like every time something happens in my life, I fall apart, and then I sit back and I think, where the heck did my faith go? And I got to thinking, how can I strengthen my faith? And I thought, well, I'll call Adriel Sanchez and see what he thinks about what I should do to strengthen my faith in Jesus.
Wayne, can I? Well, one, let me just say thanks, man, for your encouragement. I appreciate that. Are you a part of a church, Wayne? Do you have a church community that you're a part of?
Yes, I go to King of Kings Church.
All right.
King of Kings Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska.
All right. Well, God bless you guys out there. And the reason I ask is because, you know, I think that is an important part of nourishing our faith. Being with others who can encourage us in the Lord and come alongside of us when it feels like our lives are falling apart, we're going through something very difficult. But oftentimes trials and tribulations do show us how little faith we have, how quick we are to get angry at the Lord or to try to take things into our own hands instead of trusting in the Lord. And you don't need to beat yourself up about that. I think in one sense, it's a mercy of God. It's God showing us kind of where we are in one sense. And it's an opportunity for us to say, Lord, help me, increase my faith, help me to respond to the challenges I face, the trials that you bring into my life, not in ways that are unhealthy or displeasing to you. But as James says in James chapter 1, help me even to count it all joy when I encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith produces something very precious inside of me. See, God oftentimes is refining our faith, strengthening our faith, your faith, Wayne, even in the difficult things that you experience. And one thing that you can do, I think, to help reinforce that, to help strengthen your own faith, and this is an encouragement I have for all of us, is to be in the Word of God. Not just to sit back and just sort of wait to get, you know, zapped by a spiritual lightning bolt from the Lord that infuses you with faith, that kind of a thing, but really to be proactive in studying the scriptures, and in particular in fixing your eyes on Jesus through the gospel. And the reason I mention that is because Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So that's why, again, it's so important for us to be in churches where the Word of God is being faithfully preached, where Christ is being proclaimed, Jesus Christ crucified for our forgiveness. But it's also important for us to be in the Word, reading the Scriptures prayerfully. And maybe that looks like just setting a little bit of time apart every day or throughout the day to read a psalm or to read a couple chapters in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, but stopping and saying, God, help me, one, to understand your word, and through your word, increase my faith, strengthen my faith. It's through the word of God that faith comes, that God plants faith in our heart, and it's through the word of God that faith is continually nourished and strengthened. And it's also through the sacraments of grace, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, God is nourishing that faith, that gift of faith that he's given to us. And so be committed to those things. And I just want to take a moment to pray for you right now, Wayne, and just ask that the Lord does bless you and strengthen your faith as you seek to love him and to serve him. Father, we do thank you for Wayne. And Lord, we sympathize with him. We know that longing, that desire to have more faith. And especially, Lord, when we're confronted with challenges in our lives and we see how we respond, Lord, and often in ways, God, that, that Lord, we're ashamed of. We feel, man, I wish, God, I would have trusted you more in that situation, or I wouldn't have gotten upset. Help us, Lord. Help us increase our faith. Help us, as James said, to count it all joy when we encounter trials, God, knowing that you're able to cause all things to work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And would you bless our brother with that knowledge? Would you strengthen his faith as he comes before you, as he prays to you, as he reads your word, as he fellowships with other Christians? Would you bless him? Would you strengthen him? Would you be with him? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Always love to hear from you with your questions about the Bible, Christian life, doctrine, theology, or something in your church life that you're maybe confused about or concerned about. Feel free to give us a call at 833-843-2673. Also, with Easter coming up, we want to mention a great resource that we have for you, and it actually deals with something that happened after Christ's resurrection.
Yeah, the resource is called The King is Crowned, 10 Ways Jesus' Ascension Matters for You. And I hope you do get a hold of this resource. It's gonna fill you in on the significance of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ as a distinct act of his redemptive work. And so you can get this resource. By the way, it's free. It's a free resource over at corechristianity.com/offers.
And by the way, when you go to our website, check out some of the other free offers we have. We have some great core guides and core questions. And if you believe in this program, you listen to us on a regular basis, and you feel what we do is something that's helpful to you and to others, we would prayerfully ask you to consider making a gift to Core Christianity. And you can do that at the website as well, corechristianity.com. Well, we do receive voicemails here at the Core, and here's one that came in from one of our listeners named Ronnie.
My question is, as a Christian, can there be a time when you felt that God has called you into some ministry, but after a while you think that he's calling you somewhere else? Or is there a sense that once he calls you to one particular thing, that's for life?
Hmm.
All right, thank you.
Hey, excellent question, a very practical question. I do think that God can call us to different things throughout our lives. So that, you know, maybe let's just use the example of ministry, for example. You're called to be a pastor at a particular church. Maybe the Lord, after a period of time, you know, it's not that you're disqualified or that you've sinned in some way that knocks you out of the ministry, but is calling you to something else, maybe calling you to another church, maybe calling you to another type of ministry, maybe calling you to focus on your family and to work in a different capacity, which doesn't mean you're no longer a part of a church serving within the church, but you're just not called to that kind of, you know, teaching ministry within the context of the church. And so I do think that happens from time to time. Of course, there are instances where an individual is disqualified from ministry because of a pattern of sin or because of some grievous sin that's been uncovered in their lives. And so, but setting that aside, you know, God works in our lives in different ways. And, you know, there may be a season where he's calling you to do one thing and focusing in on one area. And you do that for a while, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh boy, I feel like the Lord is leading me in another direction now. And I'm sensing that guidance from his Spirit, from the counsel of others, from opportunities, doors that the Lord is opening up, and just life circumstances, you know? So I do believe that is the case. I also think that there are many people who, you know, it's one of the tragic things. This is when it comes to retention in pastoral ministry, there are many, many people who begin in pastoral ministry who don't finish, who don't retire as pastors. I've heard stats, you know, some stats say as many as 90% of people who begin in pastoral ministry won't end in pastoral ministry. And I think there are all sorts of reasons for that. But I think one of the reasons is maybe there are people who weren't actually called, not by the Lord, who were pursuing this particular office and then realized, okay, this is just not for me. And then as a result, you know, ended up finding something else to do. And so, you know, God doesn't necessarily always call us to one thing and to do that thing forever. Sometimes he does. I pray that the Lord allows me to pastor until my dying day, that I get to serve the local church and pastor the church that I pastor for many, many years. And but, you know, it's all in the hands of the Lord. And so appreciate this question, and God bless.
You know, I thought it was so cool when God called you out of MMA fighting to be a pastor.
I still do it on the side, actually. Just a little bit when things are tight. And yeah.
What is your ring name? Would you have a particular name, or do you wear a mask when you go into the...
Mr. Tornado. That's what they call me, Mr. Tornado. Yeah. But... No, that'd be really bad, Bill. That would be a disaster. So,
this is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Our phone lines are open if you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life. By the way, we're going to be recording a second episode of Core Christianity here in just a few minutes after our live program ends. So if you weren't able to get through, you can still call us for the next 40 minutes or so at 833-THE-CORE with your question, 1-833-843-2673. Let's go to Richard calling in from Oklahoma. Richard, what's your question for Adriel?
Hello?
Hey, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. It's kind of a question I've had for a long time. I tried looking it up in the concordance, and I'm not good at it. I don't know. Anyway, but it apparently is Ecclesiastes 12:12, the person who answers the phone. I'm sorry, I forgot her name. But anyway, you might know that if she spoke to you about the writing of many books.
I got it open right. I'm looking at it right now. Ecclesiastes 12:12. My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And so, interesting, Pastor. What's your question about that text?
Oh, I just was kind of wondering if it, you know, because I had no reference to it, that whether there was people writing books, or that it was God was writing books continuously, but apparently it's mankind. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when we think of God writing books, you know, we do have the scriptures, but even that, I mean, he's using people, he's inspiring them by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is carrying these individuals along. That's the language that Peter uses to write God's word. And it's not like God, you know, possessed them and took their bodies over and, you know, sort of like automatic writing, that sort of a thing. No, he used them together with their personalities to write these things down, and yet they were inspired by the Holy Spirit simultaneously. And so that scripture that we have, the word of God, the canon of Holy Scripture, is the revelation of God's redemptive work for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center of all of it. But there are many books that are written and will be written until the end of the world. I mean, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, the author of the Ecclesiastes is getting at here. Again, my son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The book of Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom literature. And the theme, you know, the word that gets repeated in Ecclesiastes is that word vanity. Vanity of vanities, over and over again, just thinking about the futility of life under the sun. In one sense, life under the sun apart from God, and just the emptiness of everything apart from God, and the reality of the struggle. And a part of that struggle is this idea of the making of many books and study. And if you don't get lost in this, don't get lost in that, my son. And so, appreciate your question. And Richard, thanks for reaching out to us, brother.
Hey, Richard, thanks so much for listening to Core Christianity. We really do appreciate you. If you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life, we would love to hear from you. Here's the number, 833-THE-CORE. Here's an email that came in from Jenny, and she says this: I have recently heard two people reference the fact that Jesus did not struggle with internal sin. One prominent Christian speaker said that Jesus was tempted externally, but since he did not have a sin nature, he could not have internal temptations. She was saying saying that internal temptation is not temptation, but sin coming from our sinful nature. The other person is a local pastor who said we aren't born with a sin nature. We are born with a human nature that isn't inherently sinful, and that is how Jesus would have been born, without sin, yet still human. Is there any biblical backing to the belief that Jesus had external but not internal temptation?
Yeah. Excellent question. Getting into some deep theology here. First, sin is not of the essence of human nature, right? Adam was a true human. He didn't have sin. When he fell and sin entered the world, and through him, we are born in sin. Our nature, you know, our human natures is corrupted by sin. That is to say that sin has affected every part of us. So we're not in the same state as Adam pre-fall. Now, Jesus, the second Adam, came perfect and sinless and never had any sinful desires. While he experienced temptation, you know, from the evil one or throughout life, it wasn't those temptations that arise from within. And the reason we have to say this is because those temptations that arise from within, those sinful desires that we have, those disordered desires that are rooted in our broken humanity, those are sin. Those are things we confess to the Lord. When you have desires that are contrary to the word and law of God, that aren't pleasing to the Lord, that's sin. You might not act on it per se, but you can still confess it and say, Lord, man, I have these desires that run contrary to your word. These sinful desires, these lustful desires, whatever they might be. And so when we're drawing that distinction between internal temptation and external temptation, what we're saying is Jesus never sinned at all. Yes, he experienced temptation, but it wasn't temptation that was arising out of some evil in him. It was the temptation of Satan, for example, there in the wilderness. And so this is just a part of affirming the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he assumed humanity in every way, you know, like we are through the incarnation, except for sin. And this is what the author of the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.
Amen. Bill, so well said.
I know that that was just really so great profound. Question. Yeah, I know that that was just so profound, Bill, that you had to think about it for a little bit of time. It was just
it left me stunned.
Often the reading of scripture, that's what it does to me. You know, it's, my wife's like, why is your head in the clouds? I just read this passage and I've been stunned all day. So I like it, Bill.
Just to follow up on what you said, let me ask you a question about sanctification, because this often comes up. There are different views of sanctification, and can you just explain how that works with our sin nature? And once we've been redeemed, once we're reborn in Christ, then what happens and what's supposed to happen with the Holy Spirit's help?
Well, and you use that word, you know, sanctification, it's the work of God's Spirit through which we're made more and more into the image of Jesus. And that sin, that indwelling sin that we still have and are going to have until we die, it's being mortified. Just kind of a fancy word for, you know, being put to death. It's by the Spirit, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that we put to death the sinful deeds of the body. And so it's God's will for us to be sanctified. We believe in Jesus Christ. And as we believe in Jesus, you know, what the Spirit of God is doing is he's molding us more and more into the image of Jesus. And that is the process of sanctification, growth in grace, putting to death our sin. It's never perfect, and we'll never be perfect. We're still going to struggle with sin, but God isn't going to leave us hanging. He's going to work in us for his glory and our good. Praise God.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, go to corechristianity.com/radio. Or you can call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, let us know how we can be praying for you. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.